Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning at verse 57. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, in which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. So far the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, we're more or less coordinating our study of the second article of the Creed with the events of Holy Week. And I say more or less because this is sort of a Good Friday text, if you want to think of it that way. But actually, the emphasis here is a bit broader than just the events of Good Friday. It has to do with the significance of the burial. We confess in the Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And what do we say about him? He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then he died and was buried. And to help us consider the significance of the fact that Jesus was buried, I'm going to ask the simple question. What was laid in Jesus' tomb? Now, this isn't one of those lame jokes, who was buried in Grant's tomb kind of thing. No, this is really far more serious than that. It has to do with what we celebrate next week. Because what is resurrected is what was laid to rest. And therefore, it's very significant what is laid to rest. This all has to do with Christ's resurrection and our resurrection, and with the very incarnation of Christ himself. So what was laid in Jesus' tomb? Was God laid there? Man? An empty shell? Mere dust? You can tell a lot about what people think of man and what man is by their funeral practices, what they think they bury. Out west, a very common belief is that man is simply molecules in motion, that we've got a body that has some sort of animal's kind of life in it, and when the motion stops, that's it, that's the end of everything. Human beings, well, they're just dead meat. And funerals, as a result, are all about memories. You know, we've got the pictures, we've got the rather maudlin video, and it's all about sadness and loss and memories. Nothing about the future. Very rarely is there a viewing of the body. Usually it's immediate cremation, and the cremains are scattered on Puget Sound or somewhere on the forest or on some beach. In other parts of the country, my non-scientific observation is here in the Midwest, for example, many of the people around here are what we would call spiritual. They're very much like the Greco-Roman sort of religion. They believe that there is some sort of psyche, the Greek word for it, that lives on, that goes to the same other world, and the body isn't so important. Grandma and Grandpa are up there, and they're watching down on us. What's in the casket doesn't seem to have anything to do with Grandma and Grandpa anymore. So those are two contrasting views of what's in the casket. Traditional Christian burial practices, by comparison, make much of body and soul. And I'm not talking about the maudlin attempt to preserve the body forever by, you know, expensive caskets and vaults and so on. But the fact is, we do treat the body with respect. It was and will be the dwelling place of the soul. It is the dwelling place of God who abides with us. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's laid to rest in the sure and certain hope that that very same body and no other will rise to be reunited with that very same soul and no other on our own resurrection day. There are lots of scriptures that teach this, but I don't think any are any more dramatic than those in Job 19. In my flesh I will see God, Job says, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. From what Job says, from what Scripture says, we don't have to be afraid that the resurrection can be frustrated. No scattering of ashes, no burial at sea, no sad consumption by wild animals is going to prevent a resurrection. Nevertheless, we can still say with certainty, if we lay someone to rest, that very same body and this very same place will rise new made at the resurrection day. And so, if that's true, what is it we lay to rest? What is laid in the casket? Christ himself redeemed. And that's good news for me. And it's good news for you. Jesus was a man, human being, for all mankind, body and soul. Remember, our soul is not holier than our body. Our soul needs redemption just as much as our body. Our body needs redemption just as much as our soul. And Christ redeemed both. What was buried in Jesus' case was that same body that had been conceived in Mary's womb, that had been born of her body, that had nursed from her breast, that grew up in her house, that got along with his brothers, that learned the carpentry from Joseph, that was circumcised on the eighth day, was baptized by John, that preached the gospel, and it was that same body that felt the wrath of God and the pain of the nails. It was the same body that was damaged by the flogging and by the crucifixion and by the spear. In his life, Jesus lived a life as we do. He was tempted as we are, we're told, but yet without sin. He was tempted by hunger and desire and emotions and everything that the tempter would use to tempt him to sin if he could, but he couldn't. And finally, his lifeless body was laid to rest until he would turn everything backwards. And instead of going from life to death, he would go from death to life again in the resurrection. What's going to be buried in my casket then is me, just as much as my soul is me. Even though my body and soul are separated in death, this is still my body. These are my eyes, my voice, my ears, my smile. And because Christ's body was buried and then rejoined, so also the good news that I too, being redeemed by his body, will rise from the dead, glorified for eternity. And so it will be with all of those who die in the faith. Now the reason is of what was buried in the tomb of Jesus. And this is where it's good to remember our creeds. Our creeds, after all, are just simple statements of what the Bible teaches. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, In all this time, we're talking about who? Jesus, body and soul, Jesus, who died, which means his soul and his body were separated, and who was buried. It's Jesus who said, "It's finished." And he commended his soul to God and died. That's what death is, separation of body and soul. But it isn't like, you know, where the good goes to heaven and the bad part is left behind. As I said, remember, Christ bought back, he redeemed both body and soul. Let's talk about this. Jesus was conceived. True God, begotten of the Father from eternity, we say in the explanation. True man, born of the Virgin Mary. God and true man, God was born of Mary. We can say that, as well as saying that true man, he was born of Mary. God was incarnate, that is, he became human being in the person of Jesus Christ. Man died. God's soul, man's soul, entered heaven. The incarnate God's body was laid in the tomb. Man's body, God's body. Jesus, God and man, was laid in the tomb. Now, the fact he was human doesn't mean that Jesus was sinful. Every so often we hear people say, "Well, I'm just human." Well, Adam and Eve were perfectly human before they sinned. Jesus was perfectly human without sin. We, being redeemed, human beings, will rise in that glorious resurrection without sin. Because Jesus, as true man, took our humanity to the grave. And as true God, and this is the wonderful part, he killed death. He conquered death. Who was buried? Jesus was buried. True God, true man. As man, he was able to die. As God, he was able to conquer death. Today is Palm Sunday. The crowds of people gathered outside the city of Jerusalem, and they saw Jesus coming down the hill from Bethphage. And they cried out, "Hosanna." You know what Hosanna means? It means, "Lord, save us." And how did they expect to be saved? Did they expect to be saved by introducing a good socio-political regime that would make it easier to live? Did they expect to be saved by being free from want, to be rescued from disease in the time, short time that they had on this life? What did they really mean? And some of them perhaps grasp it, who knows? But cried out they did, "Lord, save." And the one who came saved people like himself, people who would be buried like he was. And he saved them by giving victory over death, as he did. As true God and as a true human being, he accepted their praises. As a true descendant of David, he accepted their acknowledgement as the one who came in the name of the Lord. As true God and true human being, body and soul, he redeemed and saved those people like us, all people, body and soul. And while he suffered death, like we will, that tears the soul from the body, it was his true body that was laid in that tomb and his true body that was resurrected. Not just raised. Remember, we talk about Lazarus being raised from the dead. His soul returned to his body. Jesus was resurrected. That is, he was given a true body like his own, his very own, that was resurrected. This was the resurrection to eternal glory, backwards for us, so that all that has been done in our lives that is evil will be undone, including death itself. And so we will rise. Because Jesus was laid in the grave and rose, we too, Ed Bryant, you, sure and certain hope of amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.